The word of God to which we direct our attention this evening is our epistle reading from Romans chapter 8. You may be seated. It's New Year's Eve. I guess that's pretty obvious, right? That's why you're here at 4:30 on a Sunday afternoon, because it's New Year's Eve. And for many people, today is the day to leave the old year behind. There will be no more 2023 after tonight. Tomorrow, then, is the day to begin the new year with a fresh start, 2024. Maybe you've made lists of things that you want to change, or that maybe you want to accomplish in the new year. Some simply think it over and have a strategy and a plan to take a turn in a new or a better direction. How about you? On this New Year's Eve, have you made your resolution? I don't see many heads bobbing up and down. I see one that's shaking this way. Haven't made your resolution yet. Tonight's your last chance in 2023 to make a New Year's resolution before the new year begins. Is there some bad habit that maybe you want to break or leave behind? Is there some better habit that maybe you want to begin to form? You and I are not alone if these are some of the things that we're thinking about on a day like today. If any of you is able to stay up until midnight, which I will certainly not be able to do, and you watch one of those countdown shows that's going to be on just about every channel this evening, you're going to be sure to hear one of those roving reporters asking folks in the crowd about their resolutions. Because for some reason, this time, the new year, gives us a sense of a fresh start and a more promising future. And everybody wants to try to seize that promising future. But unfortunately, when we do these sorts of things, when we make these sorts of resolutions, we're often setting ourselves up for disappointment and disillusion. A survey of many, many studies that have been done on New Year's resolutions reveals something that will probably not at all be surprising to you, which is that only a small fraction of our resolutions are kept. I heard an ad on the radio the other day which said that of all of the people who are going to be flocking to the gyms tomorrow and Tuesday to get that new gym membership, a full 90% of them will not be seen in the gym come Super Bowl Sunday. Most people fail at their New Year's resolutions by the second month. The New Year once had a feeling of a fresh start, but now, once you're days into it, it becomes a nagging reminder of how difficult it really is to change ourselves. Last year, many of us hoped that we'd spend more time with our friends or with our family, but we didn't. We thought maybe we'd get in better shape, lose some weight, quit a bad habit, get out of debt, and get organized. But we failed. Instead, we become more disillusioned than ever. And frankly, those are just the really small things. What we've been talking about here are things at which we at least had a chance, that we were at least theoretically capable of improving somehow. The bigger thing that needs to change is something that we cannot change at all. This year, or last year, or any year down the road that we continue to be on this earth, we're sinful. By nature, we're sinful through and through. Try as we might, resolve as we might, we can't do a thing about that. We might be able to focus a little bit more on specific areas and perhaps improve just a little bit, but never really enough to make it feel like we've even made a dent. On our own, we're still thoroughly selfish, completely bent on having things our own way, always happy to care about the other guy if, but only if, it serves us somehow. No resolution of ours is ever going to change that deep-seated selfishness and sinfulness that's in all of us. So are you still resolved to try? Good job. Adelina is going to try. That's great. So go ahead and make your resolution. But maybe a better train of thought would revolve around what our New Year's resolution should actually be. Nothing wrong with all of those other things, but what should chiefly occupy our minds and our priorities as the calendar flips and as we move into a brand new year? Many of the things that we'd like to change about ourselves are good and worth the effort, of course, but our epistle reading offers us the best resolution that we could possibly have. It's the resolution of St. Paul. Paul says, "For I am sure." And that word that we translate as sure from the Greek can also be translated as resolved. For I am resolved. And what about what is Paul resolved? Paul's resolution isn't about himself, it's about his Lord. It's a resolution of faith. His resolution is that there is no safer place than the love of God. It's a growing trust in a loving Savior. He is resolved that nothing, nothing at all can surpass or overpower or destroy the love that God has for us, His children. For I am sure, for I am resolved, Paul says, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul's resolution is that God is for us. Our enemies don't stand a chance. He boasts, if God is for us, who can be against us? He's so resolved that he doesn't even expect an answer to that question. Who can be against us if God is for us? No one of any significance is any real threat if God is on our side. God has not held back any of his resources. He's not held back any of his power. He sent his Son for us all. He died for us, and he was raised for us. The gospel declares us innocent for his sake. Paul tells us to be resolved, to stand firm in Christ, and to say to our accusers, "Your condemnations, your charges against me, a child of God, they mean nothing at all. Your voice carries no weight in the courtroom of God's justice. God, the judge, has cleared me of the guilt of all of my sin. I have been declared not guilty by the only one whose voice matters in this situation, God's." So confident in this reality, Paul isn't distraught over the sufferings and the death that we experience in this life. Paul knows that these things are going to happen. He knows how life goes. He knows the consequences of sin in this world, and yet he's not worried about it. He asked, "Who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" Paul is persuaded. He's absolutely convinced, and therefore he is resolved that the love of God through Christ Jesus is what the whole world needs. It's the love of God that brought the Son of God to humanity. It's bridged the gap between man and God. It's the love of God that caused his Son to endure death on the cross with joy for our salvation. It's the love of God that caused him to be raised from the dead as a pledge and as a guarantee of our eternal life. Paul's resolution then is grounded in God's resolution for us. And Paul wants his resolution to be ours too. A resolution that the love of God has already defeated our sin and our weakness. It has already defeated death. It has already claimed eternal victory for us. Can anything else in this life finally defeat us? And Paul's answer is a resounding no. He boldly proclaims, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Sure, we are going to face trials and tribulations. There is no guarantee that just because you have faith in the love of God in Christ Jesus, that 2024 is going to be an easy year for you. That things are going to get better than they were this year. Trials and tribulations come to our lives. It's what we live with in a sinful world. But we have something even greater than anything that we might face. Even more powerful than the forces of hell, the love of God in Christ Jesus. It's Jesus, our Savior, who made the greatest resolution in all eternity, his love for us. A love that has never failed. His plan to make us his own has never been forgotten. His resolution is to reunite us to God and to one another forever. In John's Gospel, we hear our Lord's determination. We hear his resolution for us in his very own words when he says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. The Father is resolved. He sent his Son, his one and only Son, to secure life everlasting for us. And the Son is resolved. He lived, he died, he rose, and he intercedes for us even now. And the Holy Spirit is resolved. He creates and he strengthens faith in us. He secures us in the gospel. The triune God's grip on us is infinitely firm. He is resolved never to let go. Even if we face a year of challenges ahead, we need not despair. The bonds of love between him and us cannot be broken. In this, his resolution is for us. And that really counts. And not just for a new year, but for all of eternity. Our resolution is not then the one that we make and which we will inevitably fail to keep, but our resolution is the one that God has made for us. So we begin this new year confident and sure of God's resolution that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Make that your resolution. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.